Okay, this morning I want to talk about anger again. Last night, I was awakened in the middle of the night by my dog, and my dog comes and wants to go outside because it's time to go, you know, and jumps up on the side of the bed, and this is what my dog does. Jumps up and puts paws right there. She now weighs about 75 pounds, and she thinks it's her duty to stay there until I get out of bed. There's a problem with that. I cannot get the covers off of me with her laying with her whole body on there like that. And so I normally have to somehow pitch her off, and she ends up clanging against the dresser and who knows what else. And I get up, get dressed, take her outside, and she goes out and she does her thing, and I think, you know, once is good, that's great. I go back in the house, and about 30 minutes later, she wants to do the other. And I knew I should have waited a little while. And so at this moment, I'm thinking, you stupid, dumb, idiotic dog. And I wanted to say something. And I knew if I said something, I'd probably wake my wife up, and I didn't want to wake her up, but the dog already did. I found out later. And I got back in bed, and I'm still mumbling to myself, and I'm thinking to myself, you've got anger issues. And I said, okay, Lord, I've been preaching on this. I'm sorry. And so I let her go. Amen. We have anger issues. I say that because I don't believe any of us are exempt. And I believe that there's a way out of this. I believe that this thing of anger, when it erupts, ends up destroying families. Anger, I believe, is the leading cause of conflict in relationships. Can you argue with that? Anger is that which is produced when basically we don't get our way. My way last night was to stay in bed. My way was for that dumb dog to hold it until morning. Okay? And so I was angry at the fact I had to get up because that was taking me out of my comfort zone and taking me away from my sleep time, you know. And we are a people, I believe, who through a course of time discover in our lives that which is going to be comfortable to us. And anything that bothers that causes anger. As we've already noted from the Word of God, in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 13, we'll just use a few different verses. I'll be in Ephesians a little later. We'll be studying some thoughts there in chapter 4, maybe a little bit. It says in chapter 13 of verse 10 of the book of Proverbs, only by pride cometh contention. First time I saw that, I thought, oh my goodness, what a bold statement. But that's what God says, only by pride. So there's nothing else, according to God's Word, that is going to cause contentions. There's nothing else that's going to really arouse the anger that brings about the contention. It's our pride. It's that pride. Our pride is a thought life that centers upon ourselves. Now, all of us have a problem with that. So, we're not exempt. And we ought not today, as sometimes we do in a service, think, boy, I hope so-and-so's getting this. Because God wants to speak to each of our hearts, no matter where we're at in this issue. But we have thoughts about ourselves. I read something this week. Alita brought me a paper that she discovered, and as I was reading this, there was five words that was in this. It was quoted by somebody else. I don't even know who said it to begin with. It does not matter. But they're tremendous words. If you would write this down somewhere, and maybe in the flyleaf of your Bible even, maybe somewhere, take that bulletin and make a note of this, because I thought this was tremendous words, that five very simple words, refuse to think about yourself. Think about that. Refuse. It's not saying don't, it's saying refuse to think about yourself. That's something that we do in our own hearts and our own minds. Pride is a thought life that centers upon ourselves. It's seeking self-comfort. It builds its habits to handle anything that is going to diminish or take away from that comfort. When it comes to people, there are two extreme ways I believe we generally handle it. If somebody is threatening our comfort area, that pride spot, we're going to handle that in one of two ways. And I go to extremes on this, somewhere in between perhaps. But one of the ways is that we will have a violent reaction. I wrote this in my notes. I thought, whoa. With in your face, I love this word, vocabulary. In other words, very harsh words. We're going to handle it perhaps with screaming, loudness. Okay? We're going to try to talk down the other one, outshout them perhaps. It might be the thing. And of course, we find that many families, that's the way they operate on a normal basis. It's just in your face constantly. And by the way, we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago. If we as parents do this, we are training our children to do the same thing. And a way to find out if you're training your children is listen to them. Are they screaming at each other? And it might be very revealing. You might not like what you are hearing. You might not like what it's entailing. But it's probably saying, hey, we have taught them some things that are just not right. And we need to look very vividly at ourselves. So we will react with that in varying degrees. Okay, it might be very loud. It might not be quite as loud. But we're going to react in that way. Another way, and to the other extreme, is that we will inwardly withdraw. Now, you've known, and perhaps you are one of those persons, that rather than reacting, you just withdraw. Matter of fact, you get to the spot where you withdraw from everything. You just block out everything. Okay? And you live in this little world that you don't let anybody in. And so you've learned to just block it all out, not to pay attention to it. And that is your way of dealing with it. The problem in both cases is we are thinking about ourselves. Pride is thinking about ourselves. We're trying to maintain our comfort. Now, something takes place when we become a Christian. The whole world changes. Would you believe that? If you're really saved this morning, you believe that. My Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means we are Christian, we are in Christ, we're saved. It says, he is a new creation. You believe the Bible this morning? That's what it says. If you believe the Bible and you've accepted Christ, you've experienced this. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And so God has recreated you, so to speak. Okay? And so now we have this new individual that God has made. This has happened simply because we have believed the truth of the gospel when it was presented to us. Okay? And we accepted that, we believed it. We know today that for by grace are you saved through faith. Salvation comes by faith, by believing that wonderful gospel. And so, those of us in this room who have believed that, we've received Christ our Savior, God has done some changes in our lives. You say, well, I'm not sure if God's done some changes in my life. By the way, they're pretty obvious. And there's many things. A lot of it's very inner. One of the very obvious things is you have a desire now to live for God. You didn't have that before. The thing that I noticed personally right off the bat, not only did I have a great peace in my soul, now all of a sudden I wanted to go to church. I never did before. I did, but I didn't want to. I had that desire. It came in. Okay. So I had these changes that took place. And so truth initiated our life in Christ. And what I want to deal with this morning is this. Truth will maintain it. Okay? It's what initiates it. It's what will maintain it. It's that which will cause it to keep on going. Therefore, you and I, we must be governed by the truth. God initiates this new life, and He keeps it going, causes it to grow by the truth. You know these verses, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. I'm going to read them together. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. Now, that's saying something. If we really believed on Him, we're going to continue in it. He says, you're my disciples. And, He connects it, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Okay? By the way, it sets you free from you. You are your biggest enemy. I am my biggest enemy. Okay? Self. Pride. It is my biggest enemy. Pride would keep me from getting saved to start with, because I would not be willing to humble myself to call upon the Lord to save me. And that same pride keeps us from the truth that was going to help us to maintain. Now, you and I, when we get saved, we have this old nature. We sometimes call him the old man. We have this old nature, this old man. And when we get saved, we now have a new man. We have the old, we have the new. You've seen the cartoon, has the devil whispering in one ear and the angel whispering in the other ear. That's really a pretty true thing. Okay? And so we have this old nature, we still have the flesh. Have you noticed? It's still growing old, it still gets weak, it still gets tired, it still hurts. And the older you get, the more it hurts. How many can say amen? Or maybe we ought to say, oh me. And it's a fact. My soul is saved, but my body is not saved. This old flesh and the desires of the flesh, they haven't been saved. Okay? So I have this old nature with me. And because we have this new nature, there's some things that we've got to do to allow that new nature to really take over. Now, if we allow the old nature, that old flesh, to be the dominant thing, we're going to become a people who are reactionary. In other words, every little circumstance that comes our way, it's going to come and we're going to react to it. And the way we're going to react to it is according to our comfort zone. The way we're going to react to it, if we are living in the flesh, the way we're going to react to it is that which is all about me. And when that happens, far too often then there becomes conflicts because we're reacting against somebody else's will or desire. And so we find ourselves in conflicts. And I believe that God wants us, rather than to automatically react to our old established way of self-protection and comfort, I believe God wants us to be, rather than reactive, proactive. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Proactive is simply preparing in advance to live by the truth. Rather than situations come, we react to them, we decide ahead of time how we're going to act in situations. For instance, I'm not sure if it's still going on. I'm not seeing any signs lately. For many years in schools, there was a campaign, just say no to drugs. What were they trying to do? Teach children to be proactive. Make the decision before the circumstance came upon them. Okay? By the way, this is a godly thing to do. We need to be proactive and to make those choices ahead of time. In other words, if we're going to be Christ-centered and not self-centered, we simply are going to refuse to think about ourselves. Okay? And it's going to be that which is going to bring honor to the Lord. Now, let's go to our text today. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Book of Ephesians. Very familiar portion of Scripture. And I want to read several verses here. I'm going to start in verse 17. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And I want to start in verse 17 because I want you just to notice a few things here. It begins, says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So when he's talking to us here, he's saying, I don't want you to walk the way you used to walk. Okay? In the vainness or the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. By the way, that's an old word that's referring to our behavior. Not just what we say, but how it's being said. So it's a conversation that's total person. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. How's the old man operate? According to lust. That which makes you feel good. Okay? That which makes you comfortable. Now notice verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now we get saved, we have that new man. And God tells us we need to put it on. The key, I believe, to all of this matter of refusing to think about herself, whereby we come into relationships with people, our mindset is upon Christ and allowing Him to work through us. And when our desire is upon Him and He is the focus of our life, and it's no longer about us, we're not going to be getting upset at something that's said about us or to us. It doesn't matter anymore. Because what's mattering is Jesus. Amen? Boy, this is a hard spot to get to. What's mattering is Him. We are so prone to what be self-defensive, however that is, whether it's in great anger, we withdraw ourselves, but we're protecting self. But it's no longer about us. God has crucified that old man, and now He's made this new man within us. And we now have a wonderful privilege not to live according to lust, but in the Spirit of God. How's this all going to take place? How is this all going to take place? He says, you put off, in verse 23, concerning the former conversation, the old man, and then put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So you're going to put off one, put on another. There's a song, I believe. Perhaps you can tell me, Emily. It's a kid's song. Garbage in, garbage out. You don't know it? Does anybody know that? Nobody knows it. No kids in here. But isn't that a true statement? Garbage in, garbage out. You know, wrong thinking in, wrong words come out. As a man thinketh where in his heart, so is he. You know, out of the mouth come what forth? The issues of the heart. So what goes in and filters into our very being, that is the way we're going to express ourselves. By the way, that's why we know we've had all this self stuff placed into us. And that's why we have all that anger when something is there. We've talked about it over and over, but we need to get that in our heads. So if we have good thoughts that come in, we have the right things coming in, does it not make sense that as garbage comes out, goodness comes in, goodness comes out? Notice something. Stashed between these two wonderful verses, putting off and putting on, is a very small verse. This is all connected. It's all one sentence. But in the midst of it, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When you get saved, God gives you a new man. God changes things. You now have a desire for the things of God. It might not be as great as some other people, but you have that desire. It's there. You have had that change. Things have become new. Okay? But there's something else that we need to allow to take place. And that is, we need our minds changed. You ever heard the term brainwashing? You know, think about that for a moment. That's really not a bad term when you put it in the context of Christ. We need our brains washed. We need them thoroughly cleansed of all that which is what? focused on self. We need to cleanse. And we need that mindset change. And when that mindset gets changed and we begin to think like Christ, we begin to think in terms of bringing honor to Him, it's no longer about us. And what a glorious spot that is. No longer are you walking around all the time upset with this person, that person, the other person, and this situation, that situation, the other situation, because now it's all about Him. And you're seeing those situations not as that which angers you, but that which, hey, God allowed that for some reason. I don't understand it right now, but hey, this is God's working in my life. He's allowed this for some reason. And all of a sudden, we're thinking in terms of the Apostle Paul when he said, all things work together for what? How many things, Julia? All. Not some. Okay? All things. Think about that. We quote that, and we say we believe it, but we don't really believe it until we really get the mindset of Christ. And so we see these situations that take place. I mean, they can be very dramatic, but God wants to work in our lives through them. I mentioned to you a little earlier today that we're going to be showing a film on Friday night. And this film is about a missionary. And it's about actually a missionary pilot and a missionary couple who are taken hostage in South America. True story. And how through this thing, God developed a tremendous mindset in the life of those missionaries. It'll bless your heart because it's really down the same line. So I hope you come just see that. You can leave the junk food alone if that's going to bother you. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Okay? By the way, time out, parentheses. I have two DVDs that are out. I have no idea where they're at. If somebody has them, I appreciate that. One's called The Heart of Texas, and the other one I think is Fireproof. I don't know who I loan them to. I have no idea. I don't remember. But if you have them, still use them, fine. Let me know so I know where they're at. I get things out and don't know where they're at. Yeah, that problem deal. Whatever. My mind is the black hole. You tell me something that goes in there and never comes out. It's gone. Wherever it is. But anyway, we find here that we can, what? See some things really change in our lives on a daily basis. Would you like to live anger-free? Seriously. Would you like to have every day where you don't have, you know, you're not upset at the boss, or you're not upset at your employer, or you're not upset at this one, or a fellow work, you're not upset with your wife or your husband, your children? I mean, you're not mad at the dog and kicking it like I wanted to last night. I mean, seriously, all these things come and you're just free of it. Refuse to think about yourself. How do we do it? Well, we're going to talk about some things I believe are very, very simple, but we talk about a lot. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I believe that's talking about a number of things that are going to help our mind to be renewed. First of all, I believe that really shows us the importance of Scripture, because Scripture is that which is going to help renew our mind, isn't it? It's that which shows us the right direction to go. And I don't know about you, but most of my life I found out the way I was doing it and the way God says to do it are two different things. The way to real wealth in life is through giving. That don't sound right, does it? That's God's way. By the way, Doc, I really appreciate your philosophy you gave me the other night once again. I think you told me that once before. And can I use that? I love this because it's the way I think Christ... I have plenty of money until I run out. Think about that. Get a hold of that. That is deep. He said, well, you know, think about it. If we really operate that way, we're operating under the realization God is going to take care of me every moment of the way. Okay? And our mind is upon Him, not that. But God wants to work in our life. And He's going to change our minds about many things. Okay? He'll do that through Scripture. I believe another great way is good. And I use the word good here, Christian fellowship. Okay? Now, a lot of times, Christian fellowship is talking about the football game that happened yesterday, and we don't cuss. You know? And we talk about, you know, the things we did yesterday, but we didn't get drunk. You know, I'm talking about good Christian fellowship whereby we can share with each other scriptural principles, whereby we can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ together. We can share some the wondrous beauties of God. I'm talking about that kind of Christian fellowship. And what a blessing that is. I think that God's people have lost the ability to really have that kind of fellowship. We need to work at restoring that. Amen? To keep the conversation in the right place. Also, good music. Good music. I tell you what, you get some hard rock song in your mind, you're going to be angry right now. I mean, if you got that kind of noise pounding your head, I don't know how else you can be but angry. Okay? One of our teenage boys used to come here. He told us, he said this. He said, and he wrestled. He said, before every wrestling, maybe it was a football game, he said, before I go out to participate, he told us, he said, I listen to hard rock music to make me angry so I can rip their head off. That was his words. Good music. We don't need any help in ripping off heads. Amen? We don't need that. All right. So good music. Find good music. By the way, because it's labeled Christian and it has lyrics that are Christian, it may have the kind of background that is totally non-Christian. There's a whole gob of that today. And it has the same stuff of rock music. Just has new words to it. I'm talking about good music. Worship. Worship. If you want something that's going to lift your thoughts and change the way you're thinking about yourself, begin to think about and give praise to an Almighty God. And with that, I'll use the word meditation. Easterners have found a great secret in meditation. It's not a secret God had in His Word. But we are to meditate. We ought to be thinking about the things of God, allowing those, chewing them over and over. I have two scriptures that grabbed my attention this morning. I've been chewing on them since. One is found in, I'll take you there because this is, I'll just share it with you. John chapter 5, the last verse in John chapter 5. It says, but if ye believe not His writings, how shall ye believe My words? I thought, wow. If we're not willing to believe the writings of God, it's referring really to the Old Testament. Look back at the previous verse. If we're not willing to believe Genesis, how are we going to believe the words of Christ? And that really gripped my heart. And another one's back in the Old Testament. And it had to do with King Saul when he did not wait for Samuel to show up to give sacrifice. And he stepped in and he gave sacrifice ahead of him. He was not willing to wait on God. And he took matters in his own hands. And how many times do we have situations that happen when we begin to think, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, and we take it in our own hands, still allowing God to bring His deliverance. By the way, this was day 7 when he was told that's when Samuel would show up within that time frame. And Samuel was fairly late that day. It was a last-minute rescue, so to speak. And Saul lost the kingdom right there. God said, if you would have waited, your kingdom would have been established forever. Wow. I thought about that a lot. Meditate upon the Word of God, the things of God. Another area is prayer. Prayer. Private, and I use the word corporate a lot, and we're talking about many people together. What a wonderful thing it is. And to allow those things, they are going to bring those changes in our heart and mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. with the proper thoughts in, okay, when you got the right stuff going in, now you've got the ability to refuse to think about yourself. Because now you've got other thoughts there. What's our problem? We don't want to get out of our comfort zone of doing nothing and get into the Word of God, make sure that we have good fellowship with God's people, make sure that we're listening to good music, that we're bringing in the right things into our hearts and our minds. Because it does take a little effort. But all the benefits are worth it. Mm-hmm. To go in this anger-free environment. Mm-hmm. It's ruining our families. Mm-hmm. And I've seen kids who yell at each other. Where'd they learn it? Mom and Dad. And why is Mom and Dad angry? Because it didn't go their way. Because their thoughts are upon themselves rather than Christ. And we just need to let Him have that spot. Amen? What a difference it makes. Refuse to think about yourself. As you bring in those other things to think about. Let this mind, Jesus said, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? And what a difference it makes in our lives. Wow. Isn't it amazing? If we just set our focus on Him, what can change in our lives. Father, they work in each of our hearts. Lord, all of us, we have these problems. Lord, no doubt many in this room have learned to keep their minds upon You, and yet sometimes we fail. But Lord, I pray that You would just help each of us to see how important it is putting on this new man through the renewal of our minds. Lord, that those issues of anger, those things that are down within us, those issues down inside of us, because it's really all about us. Lord, that we might be able to give that up and allow You then to really work on our hearts. Bless each and every one, Lord. I pray in this area. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.